So we know that right now, it's not even been a full month in year 2020. And if you look in the news, there's a lot that actually happens that shows that we are in troubled times. Like, for example, like there's already been earthquakes that happened in Puerto Rico. There were wildfires that happened in Australia and in South Korea. Volcanoes that are erupting in Mexico, Guatemala, Alaska. There's major flooding in Indonesia. The U.S. attacked Iran military leaders in a drone strike. And then, as you know, recently the virus in China. So as you look around at what's happening in the world, you can tell that we are in the matter of troubled times. And we know that there are a lot of people that are affected by these troubled times. You know, all these things that are happening reminds us that we live in a broken world, that there is sin, and in these broken times, we need a savior. Now, these people, they as they go through these horrible times in their lives, they have their faith tried, and they wonder, what should they be doing? How should they respond to these troubling times? You know, some of them have lost their loved ones. Some of them have lost their homes. Some of them have lost their own livelihood. You know, how should they respond in these troubled times? Now, even though these things are happening all around the world, they may or may not have directly affect our personal lives right now. But even if that's not the case, we know that in your life, there will be times of trouble. So you know what those times are, when you feel like you are suffering, when you feel like your faith is tested. You know, because these things that happen in our lives affects our relationship with God. And at the same time, we also wonder, how should we respond to these troubled times? What is the godly way for us to respond? And at the same time, maybe at this moment, you may not be going through times of trouble. Maybe you may be feeling good and feeling peaceful, but you know that probably in the future, you will be experiencing times of trouble. So what would you do to prepare yourself when those troubled times come? And how should we respond when we are in these troubled times? So today we're going to be beginning a new sermon series through the book of Habakkuk. So it's a book in the Old Testament. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please take them out. The book of Habakkuk is not a book that we really turn to a lot. So you may not know, where should I find it? So if you go to the Gospel of Matthew, okay, that's the first book in the New Testament, and you go back five books, then you'll reach the book of Habakkuk. So from the Gospel of Matthew, just go back five books, you reach the book of Habakkuk. So you guys can turn there. So like I said, we're beginning a new sermon series through this book of Habakkuk for the next couple of weeks. And I entitled this sermon series as Faith in Troubled Times. Yes, Faith in Troubled Times. Now Habakkuk was a prophet who ministered in the southern kingdom of Israel that's called Judah around 609 BC. And this was a time when the nation was going through some troubled times. See, before, there was a king called King Josiah, and he ruled the kingdom of Judah from 640 to 609 BC. And he was a good king, because one day, as he was ruling, he found a copy of the Book of the Law, or in other words, God's Word, in the temple. And after reading it, he realized that the whole nation had turned away from God, had worshipped idols, so he decided to make some reforms. Okay? And he'd take down the Baals and the Asherahs, all those idols, the high places of worship, and led everyone back to worship the one and true God, Yahweh. So this was a good period of time in the southern kingdom of Israel's history, Judah. However, after King Josiah passed away, his son, King Jehoiakim, began to reign in 609 BC. And when he started to reign, this is when he started to abandon all the reforms that his father had made. So again, people started to worship the idols. They started to worship the Baal and the Asherah, and there's a lot of violence and corruption. So again, this is the situation that the prophet Habakkuk was in, and as he was ministering to the people. You know, the people, essentially, they were suffering under evil leadership, in addition to struggling with idolatry. And furthermore, there was a big threat from a powerful nation called Babylon that was threatening to attack. So this was the troubling times that the kingdom of the southern kingdom of Israel, Judah, was going through, and this is what Habakkuk was going through as he was ministering to the people during this time. And his faith was tested as he cried out to God about everything that was going on in Judah. Now, when you read other books of the prophets, you may notice that, oh, usually you have the prophet who is directly proclaiming a message from God to the people. So that's usually the style of the books of the prophets. But however, when you come to Habakkuk, it's a little bit different because the book of Habakkuk is more of a conversation. It's more of a dialogue between Habakkuk and God. So throughout this sermon series, through the next couple of weeks, that's called Faith in Troubled Times, we will see how did Habakkuk respond to God during these troubled times. So I hope you're here with me in the book of Habakkuk. We're going to start from chapter 1, and today we're going to be focusing on verses 1 to 11. Habakkuk 1, starting from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. Please follow along as I read. Verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Verse 5. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than the leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like eagles, swift to devour. They all come for violence, and all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their god. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, as always, as we worship you, as we look into your word, that you will teach us, that you open our eyes, open our ears to see what you have to speak to us. And Father, I know that in our lives we will experience troubled times. We'll experience times when we are suffering and we ask so many questions and our faith is tested before you. Lord, when those times come, help us to know how to be prepared. Help us to know how we should respond as we go through this book of Habakkuk. Lord, may you teach us, Lord. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So for today's message, we're going to be answering one main question. So if you'd like to take notes, I encourage you to write this question down. We're going to be answering, how should we respond in troubled times? So the main question we're asking is, how should we respond in troubled times? And as we go through today's passage, we're going to see that there are three responses. Three responses that on how we can be able to act whenever we are in troubled times. So to start off with the first response, the first point, I'll give you this one right away. So how should we respond in troubled times? The first response, to go to God and to be honest to him. So how should we respond in troubled times? First point, first response, go to God and be honest to him. See, at the beginning of this book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk himself, he went to God and he was honest to him. And in fact, I think he was very brutally honest about how he was feeling and what he was witnessing in the kingdom of Judah at this time. So read with me verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? So the question that Habakkuk asks is, how long? How long will I cry for help? See, when we are going through troubled times, we often also ask God, how long? Maybe you got laid off from your job and you're worried about paying your bills. God, how long? How long will you, until you be able to provide for me or provide me with another job? Or maybe your family member is suffering on the hospital bed and they need healing. You also may ask, God, how long until you bring healing upon my family member? Or maybe you had a fight or breakup with a friend. Lord, how long would this tension last between us? Will there be forgiveness? Will there be healing? Or maybe someone is bullying you. No matter what that situation is in your troubled times, I think a lot of times we will ask God this question, how long? How long will you act? How come you aren't doing anything at all? And of course, when we're in these times, it affects our relationship with God. So you see, Habakkuk, he was honest. He went to God and he was honest about what he had witnessed in the kingdom of Judah. So what did he see? Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? So what type of violence did Habakkuk see? He saw that there was sinful corruption in the kingdom of Judah. As I mentioned, people started worshiping false gods like Baal and the Asherah. And the king himself was involved with witchcraft. And there was infant sacrifices. And leaders were being unjust and being corrupt. So that's why he asks here, will you not save? So essentially, he's asking God, how long until you will do something about this? How long until you will bring about maybe about a revival, leading people back to him? How long until you will be able to punish those who have been doing this wrong? Now, in addition to the question, how long that we may ask to God, I think there's another question that we usually would also ask God when we're in troubled times. And that question is, why? In addition, how long, God, we also may ask, why? Why are you allowing this to happen, God? And you see, this is exactly what Habakkuk was also asking. Go to verse 3. Yes. Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? So there's two questions that he asks here. Why do you make me see iniquity? And essentially he's asking God, why do you make me look at this injustice that's all around me? Why do I have to suffer by looking around and witnessing all this sin that and corruption in Judah? It also says, why do you idly look at wrong? So essentially, he's also asking God, why do you seem to be tolerating all this sin? Why do you seem to be tolerating all that is wrong? You see, this shows that God surely is looking and he is aware about what is happening. So why isn't he doing anything? I think a lot of times we ask that same question as well. We look around the world, we look around at the sin in people's lives, and we just wonder, look, God, how come the wicked seem to prosper? And how come those who are righteous and those who are good seem to suffer? And God, how come you aren't doing anything about it? These are the questions that we also ask when we are going through troubled times. And I think we'll delve more into this issue in another sermon throughout this series. But again, Habakkuk was honest to God. He went to God and he complained to God about it. See, what else did he say? Continue on from the middle of verse 3. So destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and justice goes forth perverted. So the law is paralyzed. So essentially, God's word was neglected. People weren't following it anymore. Justice wasn't practiced really in the courts. So those judges, they would let the wicked slide. Crimes would go unpunished, and those who deserve justice didn't really get it at all. So that's why he describes it as justice goes forth perverted. So this word perverted literally means to bend or to twist out of shape. This is the condition that the kingdom of Judah was in. They were far away from God, and as a man of God, as the prophet Habakkuk, seeing all this hurts him inside, and he's just complaining to God. He went before God, and he expressed honestly what was going on. So again, our question, how should we respond in troubled times? So first response, as we said, go to God and be honest to him. Go to God and be honest to him. So why? Why should we go to God? And specifically, when we go to God, why should we be honest about how we are feeling about our situation and be honest to complain about what is happening? So think about who else would you usually go, or what else will you turn to when you are going through troubled times to try to cope? So some of you may go to your friends just to try to complain about someone or to complain about the situation that you are in. Or some of you may just jump onto social media and just write a status or take an Instagram photo with like a caption complaining about what you're going through so that other people can know about it. And in some ways, we may think, oh, this is very therapeutic. At least other people can know about what I am going through. But usually, when we go to turn to our friends, when we go to social media or turn to something else, these things will not be able to take away our pain. These things will not be able to take away our burden. They cannot fix your situation. Oh yeah, maybe they may give you some temporary relief or may fix the situation temporarily, but it's only God who can be able to make any changes and fix your situation permanently. It's only God who can truly take away your pains or your burdens or even discipline you. God is the only one who can be able to transform you and lead you to closer faith in him, especially in these troubled times. So this is why we say it's important for us to turn to God and to be honest with him about what we are going through. Now, some of us may instead find ourselves like going to other things, like we may go to video games and we're stressed, or we may go to maybe drugs, or maybe go to like eating. You know, we try to find other ways to cope in of God, but again, it's only through going to God and being honest with him and complaining and being like honest about how we feel that is how we can be able to grow closer to him. So it is not wrong for us to be honest to God. Now, sometimes we think, oh, I shouldn't complain to God. I shouldn't lament. I shouldn't express doubt. But here, what is Habakkuk doing here? When he was going through his troubled times in the kingdom of Judah, he went to God and he expressed, he complained, he lamented. You know, even King David, in many psalms that he wrote, there were psalms of lament, meaning that he expressed sadness and sorrow about what he was going through and asking God to save, or even expressing, God, how come you aren't doing anything? How come you aren't working? So don't just rely on your friends. Don't just rely on social media or other means to try to cope with your troubled times. Don't turn to these things, but rather turn to God, because God does care for you. Turn to God because he is willing to listen to you and hear about your complaints and what you are going through. So again, how should we respond in troubled times? As we said, the first point, go to God and be honest to him. Now let's continue on. I believe that there's a second response that we can learn from Habakkuk as we go through this troubled time. So this brings us to the second point. So how should we respond in troubled times? The second response, we should patiently wait and listen for God's response. Number two, we should patiently wait and listen for God's response. See, as we go through these troubled times, and as we turn to God in honesty and about how we feel, we should expect that God will respond. We should expect that God will answer because he does care. So how did God respond to Habakkuk's complaints? So again, I want to remind us of back in verse 3. And he says, why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? So Habakkuk sees the injustice and the corruption and the idolatry in the kingdom of Judah, and God sees it as well. So God will answer. So we see that first answer starting from verse 5. This is God speaking to Habakkuk now. God says, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. So again, it's showing that God does listen and God does respond when we honestly go to him and honestly complain. So he says, what does he tell Habakkuk? Look among the nations. Essentially, he's telling Habakkuk, continue to look at your situation. Keep looking at it. Keep looking at the injustice and the idolatry and the sin in this kingdom of Judah. And then, what do you say? And then wonder and be astounded. Because why? Because of what God is going to do and how he will work. See, after when we are going through our times of trouble and after we express to God, likewise, we should also focus and look at our situation rather than ignore it. And as we do so, patiently await of how God will respond and patiently wait of how God will work. But however, in this situation with Habakkuk, it's probably what God responded in a way that Habakkuk didn't realize, or in a way that he wouldn't expect. Because the wonder and an astonishment that Habakkuk would experience is not a response to a good thing, but rather it is more trouble that is to come. You see, what is God going to do in response to what is happening in the kingdom of Judah? Read verse 6. He says, "For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth." So, in response to the injustice and corruption and the idolatry and sin in the kingdom of Judah, God was going to raise up the Chaldeans. So in other words, like, they're also known as the Babylonians, the nation of Babylon. He's going to use this nation to be an instrument of discipline against the kingdom of Judah. So this is how God responded in this situation. He was raising up this nation, Babylon, to act as an instrument of judgment against Judah. Now, I wish I could be able to see Habakkuk's face when God first told him this. Because, you know, Habakkuk was probably expecting God to provide, you know, expecting God to bring about a spiritual revival in the nation so that the people would turn back to him. No, that's one way that God can respond to fix the situation in this troubled time. But he didn't expect God to bring about discipline. And actually, at times, this is often another way that God can respond. He can be able to discipline us as another way of bringing us back to him. So God was administering discipline. But you have to understand that Babylon was one of the most powerful and one of the most terrifying nations of that time. You know, they were very unjust, and they were even more sinful than the kingdom of Judah at this particular time. So the rest of this passage from verse 7 to 11 describes how powerful and how terrifying this and how sinful this kingdom of Babylon is. Read verse 7. It says, "They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves." So this is a kingdom that didn't have justice, that didn't have dignity. Verse 8. "Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like eagles, swift to devour." So Babylon, they have a very large and powerful army, and their horses were very fast, and the horsemen were as swift as eagles. Verse 9, "They all come for violence, and all their faces for it. They gather captives like sand." So Babylonians were very violent. They had no mercy on those that that they attacked, and they focused on trying to capture the people that they were, I guess, as they were overcoming their nations. So during these conquests. Verse 10, "At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it." So the Babylonians, they have no fear of other kings and other rulers and other nations, and they even laugh at them, because they're more powerful than these kings and rulers. They also laugh at their other people's like fortresses, because their fortresses are even bigger. They can be able to bring those down and be able to attack. Verse 11, "Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God." So they're described almost like a giant wind, like a hurricane, going through a whole nation and completely and utterly destroying out everything in its path. They were a prideful nation, and they saw like strength as their own personal idol. So this passage describes the powerful and the terror of the Babylonians. So again, God's response to Habakkuk was to use the Babylonians as an instrument of discipline against Judah. See, when God responds to our troubled times, it isn't necessarily always one out of a discipline. So like I said, like when you're going through your troubled times, you're going through financial trouble, or you have a broken relationship with someone, you know, oftentimes when you cry out to God, God can respond by providing from you. God can respond by saving you from that situation. But at the same time, there are other responses. God can also use that situation to discipline you and maybe teach you something to help you grow in your faith and grow closer to him. Either way, all of these responses are a part of God's mercy. You see, when God responds to us in our troubled times, we should see it as an act of mercy, again, because he's using these things to help us grow in our faith towards him. So by raising up the Babylonians, this nation who was very corrupt, to discipline the kingdom of Judah, God was not only showing that he is a just God who doesn't overlook sin, but he also provided a way for the people of Judah to turn back and to return to him. So this was God's response to Habakkuk. And likewise, when we are going through our troubled times, we should also be waiting, and patiently waiting for how God will respond. So again, how should we respond in troubled times? The second response, patiently wait and listen for God's response. So some of you may be thinking in the same way that Habakkuk had responded when he first heard God's response. Be like, what is going on? Now, God, I thought you were a good God. Why would you use such an evil nation in your plan as an instrument to discipline your own people in the kingdom of Judah? Now, this is exactly what Habakkuk also expressed. So if you look on from verses 12 to 17, we see that Habakkuk makes a second complaint. So we will focus on this passage in a future sermon as we go through this series. But I just want to let you know that Habakkuk did respond to God's response of discipline. And he was just wondering, I know that you wanted I wanted you to do something about the violence and corruption in Judah, but I didn't surely think that you would act in this way. Now, why would you use such an evil nation compared to the Israelites to be an instrument of judgment against the kingdom of Judah? So again, what was Habakkuk doing? He was going to God and he was being honest again about how he was feeling in his troubled time. So Habakkuk was doing again. He was complaining to God a second time. But then I want you to look at chapter 2, verse 1. This is, again, how shows how he is responding to this. Chapter 2, verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. So again, after being honest to God, Habakkuk waited and he listened for God's response again. You know, he was attentive to it. He wanted to see what God was going to say. And he compared this action of waiting like a watchman standing in a watchtower. So usually in a lot of cities and a lot of kingdoms, they have a giant fortress, a giant wall that's surrounding the city. And in the wall, there is a watchtower. And usually some of the people and the soldiers and the armies would be posted on this watchtower. And what is their purpose? What is their goal? They are to be on the lookout just in case that there are enemies that are coming. Because when they see enemies coming in the distance, then they can be able to warn the people to be ready and prepare their armies so that they can be able to protect that nation. So to be a watchman in this watchtower, you have to be attentive. You have to be intentional into looking for something that is coming. So Habakkuk is using this illustration of a watchman in a watchtower to show how he will await for God's response. You see, he made a complaint. He expressed and honestly expressed how he's feeling in these troubled times. And he's patiently waiting. He's being attentive in seeing how God will be able to respond. He is listening. So how should we respond in our troubled times? So our second point that we said, patiently wait and listen for God's response. Now, a couple of years ago when I was still in a seminary, I was taking a Hebrew class. Actually, some of you may remember this story that, since I've shared it before. It was the first class of the day, and I had to take a Hebrew quiz. And the night prior before, I was studying very, very late into the night, so I didn't really sleep well. I didn't even eat that much. I skipped meals. And that was the kind of a person that I was. So come time, imagine in the middle of class, taking this Hebrew quiz, as I was doing it, all of a sudden, the room started to spin. And then I became like very dizzy. My eyes started to blacken. I couldn't see anything. And then my ears started to ring and then start to deafen. I was like, what is going on with me? So I started hitting the student right next to me like for help. And I guess I was like this close to blacking out. I didn't know what was happening. Originally, the professor called for an ambulance. But later on, I felt better. I came back and we canceled the ambulance because that would have been a very costly expense. But afterwards, I was fine. But then, I was wondering, no, God, how could you let this happen to me? No, I'm in seminary, I'm studying, I'm trying to prepare to be a pastor to serve you. Why do I have to go through this? How come? Why? No, these are two questions that we would ask, and I complained to God. And then I had a time where I had to patiently wait and intentionally listen for how God would respond, how God will be able to teach me from this. Now, oftentimes, when we await for God's response, it's not necessarily something that is audible, because sometimes it can come as we read from His Word. God can speak it to us through His Word, or sometimes it can be a prompting in the heart. It's like we know that this is God teaching us through this situation. And like, lo and behold, I heard God speak and saying that, you know, I wasn't taking good care of myself. I was someone who didn't sleep, and I would be up until like 3, 4 a.m. just doing my own thing, studying and whatever. I would be someone who don't take care of my body, didn't exercise, didn't skipped meals. And because I wasn't taking care of my body, you know, this is something that God wanted me to correct. You know, it took something that was very big to be able to wake me up and be able to say, show me what I had to do. But you see, you know, I could have just said, oh, this is just a normal occurrence, and I could continue to live the way that I did. But you see, the only reason why I came to this point is because, what did I do? I prayed. I intentionally listened and waited for God's response to see how He was teaching me from this troubled time that I was going through. So in your own situations, you know, sometimes it takes time, it takes wisdom, it takes discernment for you to figure out how God is responding in your troubled times. And when you're going through that, be intentional. Be patient as you listen. Just like how a watchman is sitting on the watchtower, being attentive to see what enemies are to coming. And then you ask yourself, okay, when God responds, is He disciplining me? When God responds, is He trying to teach me? Or when God responds, is He bringing me salvation or providing me to be saved from the situation? So no matter how He responds, He is a sovereign God. He's in control of everything, and He has a plan that will bring you closer to Him. So again, this leads us to our third response in our troubled times. So again, we're answering the question, how should we respond in troubled times? So this is the third response, number three. We should expect God to transform you and to grow your faith. We should expect for God to transform you and to grow in your faith. So let's turn back to our passage. So far we have learned about Habakkuk, this prophet. He was going through this troubled time in the kingdom of Judah, witnessing all the evil and corruption and violence that is happening. And he cried out to God. He went out to God. He was honest to God. And then he patiently waited for how God was to respond. Okay? And as he was going through this, you know, he complained to God again because he realized, oh, God, why are you raising up the Babylonians, this evil and corrupt nation, to discipline Judah? That doesn't make sense. And then by the end of this book, if you go over to chapter 3, you see that there is a couple of changes. Now, first of all, if you read through it, you'll notice that there is a literary change. You know, in the first two chapters, you see that it's mostly a dialogue between God and Habakkuk. But in chapter 3, you see that the literary style changed, and it's more of a prayer, it's more of a psalm. But not only is there a change in literary form, but there's also a change in Habakkuk himself, because God had transformed him. God strengthened his faith after his complaints, after responding to him. So look at the last three verses of chapter 3, starting from verse 17. Habakkuk, in his prayer, says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruits be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. So, you see, there is a complete change in Habakkuk comparing this to the beginning. So, at the end, what did he say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take my joy in the God of my salvation. Compare this to back to chapter 1, verse 1, where Habakkuk was saying, Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? So notice that there is this change in Habakkuk from someone who doesn't understand what is happening in the troubled times and complaining to God about it to someone who is stronger in his faith and now sees his joy in God. Because ultimately, Habakkuk realized that God is a sovereign God. God is in control of everything. God is the one who will be able to provide and have a plan. Even though, yes, he's disciplining the kingdom of Judah by raising up the Babylonians who will come and bring them into exile and into captivity for the next couple of decades, actually up to 70 years, that God was in control. That God had a plan. He knows what's best to bring them back to him. And this is, again, why he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take the joy in the God of my salvation." So how should we respond in troubled times? Again, our third point, we should expect God to transform you and to grow your faith. So likewise, when we are going through our times of trouble, we should have the same expectation as well. We should expect that God is using this troubled times to bring us closer to him, to transform us, to change us, and to grow in our faith. And this can only be accomplished by going to God and being honest to him. This can't be accomplished as we go to our friends. This can't be accomplished as we go to social media. This can't be accomplished by turning to other means of coping with our troubled times. This can only happen, this change, this transformation, this growth in our faith in God, by turning to God. So this is why we say that we should have this expectation that God will transform you and God will help you grow in your faith. So let's review everything that we've learned from this passage as we looked at the first part of the book of Habakkuk. We answered the question, how should we respond in troubled times? And we said that there were three responses. So let's review. Number one, the first response, go to God and be honest to him. Our second response, patiently wait and listen for God's response. Whether that response is of discipline, of provision, of salvation. And then number three, expect for God to transform you and grow in your faith. So whenever we go through these troubled times, whether we're going through it currently right now, or whether we expect to go through those troubled times sometime in the future, we can remember how we can respond in these three ways and to be able to see how God is using our troubled times to draw us closer in faith to him. And one of the theme verses in the book of Habakkuk is chapter 2, verse 4. So actually, if you go there with me, God says, "But the righteous shall live by his faith." But the righteous shall live by his faith. So Lord willing, next week, as we continue on in this sermon series through the book of Habakkuk, that is called Faith in Troubled Times, we will focus on this verse. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and see what does it mean for us as the righteous to live by faith. So we know how to respond in our troubled times, so now we can be able to see how that is related to living by faith. So that'll be for next week, Lord willing. In the meantime, I invite you all to bow your heads with me, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our joy. You are the Lord of our salvation. May we rejoice in you. Oh, these are the same words that Habakkuk had written out at the end of his book. And Father, we pray that we can reach that goal as well. As we're going through the troubled times in our lives, help us to see that you are a sovereign God who is in control. Help us to be willing to go to you rather than to something else or someone else, and just to be honest, to express, to complain, because you can be able to respond to us. You can be able to teach us. You can be able to provide for us and show us how we can be transformed and grow in our relationship with you. Father, we know that we need faith in our troubled times. So Lord, whether we are going through something right now, you know, Father, if there is someone who may feel like they are in such a very tight situation that they are suffering, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that they would turn to you. And Lord, for those of us who aren't going through anything right now, but know that we will in the future, may we be prepared. May our hearts be ready so that we can be able to turn to you and know how we can be able to respond. Lord, continue to be with us and speak to us throughout these next couple of weeks as we continue on in the book of Habakkuk. Lord, you are a good and sovereign God, and we want to praise you. Give us faith. We lift up these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.